You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Welcome to the Balls Hard of Liberty podcast. This is episode number 297. It'll be Centurion's favorite podcast. I'm Jeremiah Morrill. Today I'm joined by executive video audio producer, engineer, cable whisperer, Mr. Zachary Burcham.
I am none of these things.
And my forever co-host, Mr. Dakota Davis. What do we have planned today?
Today's episode features Mr. Ben Ham. Ben is the owner of the Press Coffee Company here in Newcastle, Indiana, a new coffee shop that we have. We're going to be talking to Ben about how he got into the coffee business, how much he loves coffee, what his favorite drink is, and then at the very end of the show, he's going to tell us what we can expect from the press in the near future and the far future. So make sure you stick around until the very end of the show.
This show is about our lives in rural Indiana. We're here to push your boundaries and make you think as individuals. Sometimes it'll provoke you. Other times it'll make you laugh, but hopefully always learn something new. I think there's been a miracle, Dakota Davis. I don't hear the active construction outside the door nearly like I did during Patreon.
I think they've shut it down. And hopefully the viewers can actually hear us this week. We'll see. We'll find out.
Oh, they'll angrily tell us here in a second.
Those Bob the Builder noises were a Patreon exclusive.
Yep. Yeah, they were.
I want to send Zach out there with a microphone just to see if he can get an interview.
I don't get paid enough for that.
Just open the door and say, "Hey, we got an extra seat in here and some beer."
They're out there with a they're out there with a roller. It's going to look like Who Framed Roger Rabbit with you getting run over.
Yeah. You know, I wasn't even
treated
sure.
Like a tune.
We talked about the thing earlier, and that brought up the thought of Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And I was like, I wonder if Dakota even knows about Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I know about Roger Rabbit.
Have you exposed your young child to it yet?
No, I haven't. That's not one that's.
Is it too dark for him already? I don't know what's the appropriate age. When
you would think it would be younger, but
you've got to thread a needle because some stuff's going to go over their head,
right?
And you don't want them, you know, lusting after Jessica Rabbit too hard. So I don't know what the right age is.
Yeah, I was going to say do it before he understands Jessica Rabbit. I saw a movie the other weekend that was a kid's movie, and it had an incredibly dark. But the character itself was not dark. No, I saw the Mario movie, the Super Mario Brothers movie, and there is a character in it that just everything they say is so dark and so depressing. And I was just like, at the end of it, I was like, they never had that character like turn to something like one of the quotes from this character, which is I think a famous quote from something else, is there's no such thing as hope, only the sweet relief that death provides.
That's pretty dark.
That's really dark.
Yeah.
And are you running for mayor of a small town in Indiana?
No. And that character was never said anything more positive than that.
Looking at you, Muncie.
They should just put their town hall with their jail.
Along those lines, we talked a little bit about how I love the video game Skyrim in Patreon. When Jackson was a baby and I was on nap duty, I would just play Skyrim while he was sat on the bed and went to sleep next to me, and worked out really good. And then like as he got older and was like able to see it, I did download a mod that took away the blood in it. So like if you're hitting people there, if you're slashing someone with a sword, there's not blood squirting out, because I was like, that's not appropriate. And if you're burning someone with magic, then they're not, you're not like charring their skin or anything on the screen. It's all very like very PG now. It's like you're still hitting them. There's no blood, and then they just kind of just fall over. They don't even make like a death noise anymore. Like a ugh.
This is going to be a shiny object episode. Do you have a Bob the Builder Band-Aid on your finger? What is that?
Red semi-trucks.
Red semi-trucks.
I grabbed a spring putting together a trampoline this afternoon. Snagged me pretty good. So now he'll ask me to play the bad guy game because it's like, if I'm playing it, then he's like, daddy's knocking out the bad guys. Cause I told him we're just knocking them out. We're not killing them. We're just knocking them out. But then if we play fight, he'll hold up his hand like he's got flames in his hand and he goes,
just knocking
funniest out things. Yeah. Just knocking them out. That's all it is. Yep. So some kids punch or use finger guns. And my kid's out here using
his virtual flamethrower.
Flames.
Well, magic. If you want to hear about Dakota's Skyrim excitement, you can join Patreon at any level. However, if you join at $50 or more a month, Dakota, what happens?
$50 or more a month at patreon.com/BossHogOfLiberty. You get a shout out at the front of every episode, and those folks are Miss Christy Avery from all the way in Fort Wayne, our favorite Norwex dealer, Mr. Jonathan Phillips, Andy Moore Buick GMC, also a candidate for city council in Newcastle.
Looking for people to go walking for him.
Looking for people to walk, looking for people to buy t-shirts, many opportunities to support Mr. Phillips. And then we also have Mr. Anthony Meyer, who, is driving one of the trucks that I have on my Band-Aid, keeping the country running.
Did he mail you some goods? Did he mail you some Band-Aids?
We have a big box of Tonka truck Band-Aids.
I'm a grown man with no children in the house, and I'm pretty sure we had some SpongeBob Band-Aids, and I don't know where they came from. Maybe from when my wife taught third grade. That's what I have to tell myself, because otherwise I have no way to explain it away.
It was either these or Buzz Lightyear. And the Lightyear ones are pretty small, so I didn't know if they'd work.
Zach, have you ever found yourself running around with cartoon Band-Aids?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually Spider-Man. Paw Patrol or Mickey Mouse.
Does this happen in your house, Ben?
Oh, yeah. Spider-Man is the main one.
Right. Part of the deal.
Variety, though.
I have no children in the house, so they're just standard, Band-Aids.
Yeah. We have some standard, but we have kids ones, too. Yeah. You just take whatever's available.
I'm such an idiot that I'll hurt myself and just not put a Band-Aid on. I'll just, deal with it.
Oh, yeah. I'm bleeding all the time.
But this one got gnarly.
But for kids, you don't have to be hurt to get a Band-Aid, though.
Right. They have a bellyache, so you put a Band-Aid on their tummy.
Peak COVID was when I got my COVID shot, and they said, you didn't bleed, you don't even get a Band-Aid, sir. That was the ultimate vaccination, lack of Band-Aids. All right, we are totally
very
lost.
Tough.
You want to sell some merch?
Merchandise. Send an email to Dakota@BossHogOfLiberty.com or Jeremiah@BossHogOfLiberty.com, or you can leave us a voicemail on the website, BossHogOfLiberty.com. So any of those options.
Only boomers are allowed to leave voicemails. That's it. Otherwise, text us.
They'll probably figure out some way to leave a voicemail on the email.
I woke up to that this morning, actually, from work. Somebody forwarding me a two-day-old voicemail that was time-sensitive via email.
Very good.
It came in overnight. It was spectacular.
That's actually a thing now, though, is people will text each other back and forth voice notes.
Yeah.
And they talk about the irony of now using your phone to record something and then texting it to somebody instead of just calling them.
I don't like that. People do that, and it's very irritating because then you have to try to follow what they're saying and then respond to it also. And then it's like, do I respond to it in a voice text or do I respond to it in a text and they think I'm rude? It's too much.
Just go stand out in the wind text. And do it so you can barely hear you.
All right. Let's get to Ben.
Sorry, Ben. I have so many.
It leads me to coffee shop questions. So this young millennial stuff and people, people being on their Apple products, it makes me think of coffee shops. So, Ben, you have opened up the press just a couple blocks away from here.
Yeah.
We're like Race Street neighbors almost.
Yeah. The old Courier Times building.
The old Courier Times building.
They're still there also.
You're just slowly pushing them out.
No, they got their nice little spot in the building, but.
Do they let you in their side?
Yes. Whenever they have an issue or anything like that, they'll bring me over. Sometimes I do some building stuff because my dad's an owner of the building also. So
right.
That's a whole nother.
So you find yourself being the plumber for the Courier Times now?
Luckily, haven't had to do that yet. All right, but other similar things, yes.
Well, very good.
I've been on the roof a few times.
Maybe someday everybody's going to get to go on the roof of there. Is that?
Oh, well, that was an original rumor. That was a pretty early rendering, I think. That would be an awesome thing to do in the future. But
hope
I think
springs,
there's got to be
springs eternal.
I think somebody's got to be able to pay for a reason to build that out up there.
Yep,
it'd be pretty sweet though.
I understand. All right, so tell us about the coffee shop, what it's all about, what you guys are accomplishing with it, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. So the coffee shop. So I was an engineer before this. So sat in front of a computer screen all day. There were certain days where I never saw daylight because I was just staring at my screen.
Your mic over towards your feet. It's directional. Like, yep. Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Right there. Like that.
Yep, lovely.
Move it as much as
all
you
right.
want.
All right.
Yep. Whatever's comfortable, but just make sure talking into it straight.
Sounds good.
But if you talk straight in, yeah.
Oh, right there.
Yeah, it's like directional. That? Exactly.
Ah, I see. So, and then my wife's been in education her whole career, too. So we both had our careers with that. But my dad bought the Courier-Times building with Kyle York. It was a little over a year ago. And he was giving us a tour last January and was just kind of offhand was like, man, it'd be awesome if someone put a coffee shop in this part of the building. And my wife and I were just kind of talking on the way home and kind of went from there. So,
and it was spoken into existence.
Yes. So she had the idea for the name before he even really committed to the coffee shop itself. But once we had the name to press and she came up with that. So, we had to make it happen. So.
You had to change everything. So did you have any background in coffee before? Were you a coffee snob of sorts, knowing what you're getting into, and like, or were you just like, yeah, whatever coffee, I don't care?
I definitely would make coffee, you know, the way maybe a connoisseur type a little bit, but I didn't have anything but a little hand grinder and an AeroPress. If anybody knows what an AeroPress is, that's the best way to make a single cup of coffee, in my opinion. I just enjoyed coffee, really, but never thought of it as something of starting a business or anything like that. But, you know, once we had the idea for, you know, hey, a coffee shop would work here in downtown Newcastle. And really, it really became more about trying to find a way to be community-oriented with our careers. My wife's, she's an assistant principal at Tri, and so she's kind of... she's definitely community oriented with that. I was kind of traveling to Indy for my job and just clocking in, clocking out. And, you know, this just seemed like a lot better way to be more connected with people. And, you know, I think it's an advantage for me and an advantage for my family and everything, kids and everything like that.
So speaking of the community, what's the response been since you guys opened? How's it been going?
It's been absolutely awesome. So there's been so many people that come in as regulars, who I learn their drinks and things like that. And that's, you know, something I was almost nervous about at start of like, man, are people going to expect that? Am I going to be able to remember people's drinks? But it's amazing how, you know, when people come in enough, you definitely have their order memorized and start putting it in or start making it as they're walking up and things like that. So it's been really cool. And man, holiday time at a coffee shop is super fun. Just cause there's so many, families and kids that come in and, you know, hot chocolates and special drinks and things like that. And you can tell that, it's getting those special treats or like memories that people have. And even during the day, you know, people just coming in for business meetings and connecting and stuff like that. That's really been the vision of what we want our coffee offering to be, is a place where people can get together, meet and talk and things like that. So
now every time that I've been in the press, which is, I'm no regular, but I've probably about a half dozen to 10 times.
Yeah.
I think that Aaron Dickens been there every time.
I was going to ask, what's Aaron Dickens' order? Because I know, like, it seems like about every third picture Aaron posts on social media.
His wife works in the building.
One of your cups is in the shot. Like,
yes.
He's very Instagram to the press friendly. Yeah.
He is. So his wife also works for Whole Heart Communications, who we work with for just a lot of our marketing stuff. So that helps there because he's in in there because of that. But his order is a miel, is his regular order, a miel latte, which is a honey cinnamon, if you guys haven't had that yet.
It's, is that, wait, he told me one time, the first time I went in to get the Noah.
Oh, it's the same thing. Okay. Yes, yes. All right. So Noah, she started out as a barista with us, and so she brought that drink, the miel. So the funny story is that Aaron was trying to name the drink after himself. and then she kind of called him out on it and was like, wait, I'm the one that like first suggested it to you, and you're naming it after yourself? And he's like, you're right. So now it's the Noah, and I'm going to tell everybody. And it took less than a week for someone who didn't know Aaron or anybody else to come in and order
and
that.
Be requesting and it. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. All right. So I want to know, because we have had some high level coffee shops, but I'm not generally one that's going to stop and figure it out and go get a fancy coffee. So I took a picture of your menu on a recon trip on Saturday. As I've spent probably, I've been there a half dozen, 10 times as well. Spent about an hour and a half on Saturday, and Mr. Dickin did come strolling through. I was there with Brian Nichols and Caitlin Nichols and Sarah and their baby Meredith Lily. Palmer Nichols. huge Office fans. So I named their child for them because their cats are Moe's and Moe's and Astrid. So I said, well, this has got to be baby Meredith Palmer. So I was meeting baby Meredith Palmer for the first time, and we hung out outside on the patio for about an hour and a half on Saturday. But I did take a picture of the menu because I don't know what all this stuff is. And maybe there are some barriers to entry for people that aren't familiar with the offerings of everything that's there. So I know what a drip coffee is. That's coffee that just poured through, like just dripped like normal you'd make from home.
So you brought me tonight?
Yes.
But you've got lattes, mochas, Americanos, chai lattes, cortados, cappuccinos. What are all of these things?
Cortado is my favorite drink.
Yes, cortado. That's the barista's drink, I would say.
Because I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, like at a Mexican restaurant, it's all meat, beans, cheese, rice.
Yeah,
in different orders.
It's very similar to that.
So how what do all these things mean? For like the just dumb it down. Like I'm 6 years old.
So
five.
Yeah, essentially you have an espresso shot. Well, a double shot's kind of the base of every espresso based drink. So the lattes, the cappuccinos, the cortados. Americanos, those all take a double shot, and then it's just whatever you add to it. So latte, I would say those are the base drinks. I would say the first thing you want to try if you want to get into coffee would be a flavored latte, because you got plenty of steamed milk in there to make it where you're, you know, as you're getting used to the espresso and the coffee taste, that
you're covering it up.
Yeah, yes, you're covering it up enough.
It's like drinking. If you're doing the bourbon thing, you're drinking bourbon and you're hiding it in soda, right?
Yes.
You're putting the coffee in with cream.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
So, you know, that's lattes. Cappuccinos, I would say, are just a little bit more concentrated than the lattes. So you're going from like one double shot to a 12-ounce drink to one double shot to a 7 or 8 ounce drink.
Yeah, a lot of cappuccino drinkers won't put flavoring in them. A lot like.
Yeah,
cappuccinos,
once you
when you start going like, oh, no flavors, you know, just the cappuccino.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, you can add flavors to anything you want, but yeah, you're right. That once you start getting at those more concentrated things, you're probably more enjoying the coffee flavors itself. So yeah, you know, there's a little bit of difference in how much you foam things and things like that, but you're kind of getting into the nuance.
Now, an Americano, I assume, is served over a hot dog.
It's close to that. There's a fun story or urban legend kind of behind Americanos.
You'd get into this.
So Americanos, they say that American soldiers in World War II were going over to Italy and they were trying espresso for the first time and couldn't handle it. So they added hot water to it to make it mimic just like a regular drip cup of coffee.
Okay.
So that's where Americano.
So it's basically, it's your latte, but instead of steam milk, you're cutting it with hot water.
Yes.
So once again, if we're going back to the bourbon world, you're deproofing it essentially. Yes. You're adding water to it to thin it out.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was such an alcoholic until just this moment. What is a chai latte?
Chai latte.
Is that Asian?
Well,
is it a tea?
Yes, Asian, and I think a little even more Indian. Okay. That part of Asia, which I guess.
I think that's, I don't want to get the map out, but I think that's still Asia.
It is. It is.
Eastern Asia.
Western
Asia.
Although, just this week, Mr. Beat tells us that India has surpassed China as the biggest population in the world.
Has it really?
This week, yeah.
Man, I'm going to have to change all the,
you gotta change,
the facts that I learned in school, like Pluto being a planet.
That's it. Just thrown off the list. All right, so a chai latte is an Indian drink.
Yeah, it's really black tea based. So, you know, there's a lot of tea based things that, you know, probably India, my guess is that, you know, the British brought chai tea back over from there. But if you're wanting a very more interesting flavors to something without adding like sugary syrups and things, chai tea latte is a good thing to go. Also, it doesn't have quite as much caffeine. So, you know, especially coffee shop, the espresso, it has a good amount of caffeine in it. It's not just a can of Coke's worth.
This was Dakota's problem tonight, is he's the oldest under 30-year-old man you've ever met. On the inside, he's 86. So bedtime for him, if he's not doing a show, is around 6:40.
About right now.
What time do you eat dinner?
Tonight I ate dinner at 6.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You were busy.
I was fighting the trampoline.
What time do you normally eat dinner?
About 4:30 or 5. Usually closer to 5.
After 4:30, you can take your teeth out and just be good for the night.
That really only started when I had a kid, though, because they have to eat earlier because they go to bed early.
That's very true. Yep.
So you just kind of adapt to that, their schedule.
You got to have bath time. And
I don't believe him. I don't believe him. On the inside, he's an old man.
Oh, but yeah, that was my problem tonight, because I'm a fiend for cortados. I love them. So as you offered, you're like, I'll bring drinks on the house. And I was like, yes. Oh, no.
I should have offered that, because we can make that decaf also.
Really?
So, yes.
So,
interesting. Any of our espresso things, we can make decaf. So if you're ever worried about, hey, it's 4 or 5 o'clock and I'm done with caffeine at 2 p.m. type thing. You know, we can make anything decaf, and we have pretty good.
So what's a cortada?
So cortado. A cortado. So
there is a cortada.
It's an island off of San Diego.
Oh, I've seen it. There's a cortada at, it's a very niche drink. I found it at a place called Roscoe's, and it's a cortado, and then they add some sugar.
Oh, okay.
So it's just a sweeter. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a cortada.
A cortado is a espresso shot with it's equal parts espresso, equal parts milk. So it ends up just being like a 4.5 ounce drink, but it's traditionally served in a Gibraltar glass. So that's kind of another part of the fun, is you get nice little pretty glass. Mm-hmm.
So the Gibraltar would be that we're getting all the continents in. I believe that's Africa, just barely. Northern Africa.
Or is it southern tip of Europe? About as close to Africa as you can get.
I guess it's Morocco.
You might be able to see Africa from it.
They're like 10 miles apart.
Yeah.
You should call your wife.
The Straits of Gibraltar. I don't know. It's the water in between. I don't know which one it is, I guess.
Gibraltar Strait. That sounds like a drink itself.
The Straits of Gibraltar. We're going to name that after Dakota. All right. So I've changed screens here. The other thing I wanted to, just the straight up mocha.
Mocha is just a chocolate latte.
Okay.
So that's the one that every coffee shop puts it up there, but it's really just a flavor that you put in the latte. So it's not that, you know, and you just call it a mocha, but white mocha, you have that also. So yeah.
It's actually, that's one of the first cappuccino based drinks I would do, is that. And then the other one is the cold brew.
Yeah.
So that's where you make the coffee on the counter.
Yes. And that, so I would say the main three ways that we brew, you know, there's 100 different ways you can do everything, but the main three different brewing ways would be espresso, where we use our espresso machine to push a small amount of hot water through a little puck of coffee. And then you have drip coffee, where it's just pouring hot coffee over a bed of ground coffee. And then cold brew is kind of it's the most unique way of brewing, probably, because you don't use any hot water at all. You just let for a whole 24 hours, you let the coffee sit in the water, and then you filter it out afterwards. So it has a much different flavor profile, and that's what I'm having here. But it's a lot smoother. So if you're wanting to try something that doesn't have necessarily the bitter taste of some of the hot brewed coffee. Cold brew is a good way to go.
I never knew that. I've always like been able to tell the difference between a cold brew and a regular coffee, and I was just assumed that it was like only the temperature difference on your tongue, because if you make cold brew at home, you're just pouring hot coffee over some ice, mm-hmm. cooling it down.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's totally different.
Yeah. That, and I would call that cold coffee versus cold brew.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
We've been making, Sarah's been making cold brew, and it's the same thing you talk about where she'll have it basically sitting in water overnight on the counter, and mm-hmm. then it gets
yeah.
filtered out and put away.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So what's the go-to? What do you see people come in and actually get?
I would say our flavored lattes are definitely the go-to, and you can do almost any of these drinks hot or iced into whatever your preference is. So, you know, but the flavored lattes of just people finding their favorite flavor and going with that would be probably the most popular thing, I'd say.
How often do people like Zach just come in and pull their laptop out and spend the day? Like, do you have this culture of people that just essentially come and work out of the place, or is it how's?
There's definitely a few times where people come in and they're like, "Hey, my internet went out at my house and yeah. I need some place to post up, or I kind of need, you know, I'm trying to meet with somebody and, you know, hey, you have your meeting room over there." And yeah, you know, it's one of those, we've never had an issue where people are there too long. Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, except some people Aaron stay for a while. Yeah. You know, Aaron, every now and then, I've had to kick him out just a couple times, but
yeah,
you know,
every 24 hours you have to go home and take a shower, sir.
Has he tried to claim like a table or a chair? Like,
no, he hasn't corner? Yet, but like, that's probably up. Coming pretty soon.
He'll just put his picture up in the corner.
Yeah.
Have you ever given someone like a stronger drink, like an unflavored cappuccino or a cortado, and it's like their first time having a stronger espresso experience?
Yeah, I always... Well, I guess you're finishing your question probably. Is that?
No, I just wanted to know their reaction.
Yeah, so that's something that customers, sometimes they'll come in and they'll order a cappuccino or a macchiato, which a macchiato is traditionally it's espresso with like a little tiny little drop.
Yeah, it's less foam. Than a cortado usually.
So yeah, and then you have but there's the caramel macchiato that Starbucks has made every specialty coffee shop's life hard by basically yep. creating this whole different drink.
The whole reason I'm asking the question is because I did that same thing.
Yes.
Loved the caramel macchiatos at Starbucks, went to a specialty coffee shop for like one of the first times I'd ever been to one and ordered a macchiato. And I was like, what is this? This is not,
it's not what same. You're thinking and what you were after at all. Yeah. Basically, anytime someone orders a caramel macchiato, I'm going to make them a caramel latte. Yeah. But I try to sometimes have that conversation with the customer a little bit of like, hey, is this what you're expecting? If not, I'll make what you want. Well, you know, we can do whatever you want, but just want to make sure that you get what you expect is really the goal of the whole thing. So, you know, sometimes they're brave and they're like, no, yeah, I want that. But other times they're like, no, I want what Starbucks makes.
Yeah.
I'm used to that.
Yeah, I think, you know, you said that you knew about Roscoe's, which is in Richmond, and it was one of the first specialty coffee houses I'd been to. I feel like giving them this little plug isn't going to directly conflict because they're far enough away, so it's okay. But I kind of got introduced to some of that stuff there, the caramel macchiato, and it was like halfway through the drink, I was like, this is actually pretty good. Like mm-hmm. It's not what I expected. So the initial shock wore off and it's like, I can kind of enjoy the complexities. I'd always been a black coffee drinker anyway. So I enjoyed the flavor profile of regular coffee. It's like, okay, this is somewhat even more enjoyable than having it covered up with sugar.
Yeah. Yeah, the great word you use there is complexities. It's like coffee is one of the most complex flavor profiles. And that's where people talk about a Kenyan coffee or Ethiopian or Guatemalan. And where it's made makes a big difference in the like nuances of the flavors. If that makes sense. I used a lot of
words there. And that's, we've talked about all these different kinds of drinks, but then I assume the other variables are, you can change the bean and you can change the way the bean is roasted, right?
Yeah. If you're really diving into the coffee itself, you know, those, there's a bunch of different flavors in there and you're trying to, you know, take away the harsh flavors so that customers or yourself, if you're making coffee at home, so you can dive in and connect with those, you know, all those complex flavor profiles.
I think I have a good question. What's the best off the shelf in the can coffee brand?
Oh man, like what you can get at a grocery store or something like Walmart. That. At Walmart. Well, Walmart has Tinker Kroger. Has Tinker Coffee, which is roasted, small batch roasted in Indianapolis. And I would say that that's the best that you can get.
I have to write this down.
At Walmart. Yes.
I'll rephrase the question for the national audience. The nationally available commercial
sale. Nationally available. Okay. My favorite probably nationally available would be, oh my gosh. I'm gonna forget
Folgers.
No, not Folgers.
8 o'clock. Eight o'clock is what we use in our house.
8 o'clock's good. Yeah. Boston Donut.
Tim Hortons.
No, that's Canadian.
It is Boston.
Why are Dunkin' Donuts?
Dunkin' Donuts. Oh, yes. Dunkin' Donuts. Man, that tells you where my mind is right now. But Dunkin' Donuts, I think, is about the best that you can get. The other, there's another brand that I'm forgetting what it is, but if you have
community,
if you have a roast date, that goes a long way. So if you're just look across the at all the expiration dates really could be way, way out there from the roast date, and coffee's best for about a month after you roast. So if you have that roast date, then you can really tell how old it is. The expiration date, you know, a lot of these companies just put it out 6 months or something like that, and it's way stale by then.
So what's the not the brand name, but the style of bean or what you have? Is there essentially a go to, or does that get rotated?
Our roaster, Carabella Coffee Company, which is just outside Cincinnati, they do almost exclusively medium roasts. And I would say that that's just the best way to,
maybe I should turn off my phone on my podcast.
You're just popular.
I know. Well, it is one of my baristas, but I think she can deal with it right now. But, medium roasts, let's turn off my phone there. There we go. But medium roast, at least in my opinion, you know, you're getting the best flavors out of the coffee. A lot of the dark roasts coffee, I think, are that you're trying to mask things being stale, or you're trying to make things taste, you know, the same across the country, across the whole time of year, that it's just the same all the time. But it's kind of, and in a lot of ways, mediocre compared to what you can get from medium roasts and small batch roasted. You know, what we might get in February versus October for the same coffee might be just a little bit different in the flavor profile, but it's the best of what that coffee can give, is what I'd say.
I assume the water makes an impact as well.
Yeah, you definitely want quality filtered water. So that, you know, that's a huge thing. And really that goes along with just the flavor of the coffee, but also protecting your equipment and things brewing right and stuff like that. You know, we were almost talking about that a little bit earlier. Yeah. That if you have scale buildup on your machines, like, you're going to end up tasting that, or your machines are going to go bad. So if you can have filtered water that you can just brew and not have to worry about those buildups as much, that goes a long way.
So are you constantly just changing different things up, experimenting behind the scenes, seeing what flavor combinations you can offer?
There's a little bit of both. With a lot of our specialty drinks and seasonal drinks, we try to switch things up to have different offerings and different experiences for customers. But there's also with like our espresso roast and our house brewed coffee, we want a little bit of a baseline to work from. So we try to keep those consistent. We call it dialing in the morning when we come in for our espresso, where we tweak the machine and the grind of the roast and our dose, which is how much ground coffee we put in into the machine. And we try to get all of those things solid baseline and just consistent. So when customers come in, they get what they expect. Because that's a lot of national coffee chains, and you can think any food, a lot of times you'll stop at some place just because you know what you're going to get every time. So we kind of want that same, even being a locally independently owned coffee shop, we still want that experience for our customers where they know what they can get.
Now, it's not on your menu that Jeremiah's got pulled up, but I was in there a little while ago with my wife. My wife's a big matcha drinker. I'm a big tea person. My wife is really into matcha. And so she ordered your matcha latte from you, and I was watching your barista make it behind the counter, and I was actually really shocked because I saw her take a whisk and actually whisk it inside of a cup and transfer it, which is like
traditional Japanese.
Very shocking to me because no one does that, and you'll wind up with like granules of compacted matcha powder. So you're drinking, and then all of a sudden you get a powder bomb in your mouth, and it's not good because they'll just like take a scoop in the bottom, throw it in the bottom of the cup, and shake it up. You know, if you go to Starbucks or other chains,
dropping names on them now.
I'll drop Starbucks's name. They don't do a good job.
They left this
Everybody
town.
Knows who we talk they about can, when we talk about.
They can burn in Seattle as far as Dakota is concerned. Yeah.
Make it better, and maybe I won't talk so bad. Make it like Ben does. So I wanted to ask you about that for a minute because it's you're a business owner, so you're having to think about what goes into making a drink. It's taking your barista's time to measure out the matcha, whisk it together with a bamboo whisk, transfer it into a cup, and then make the latte.
Mm-hmm.
So what? And it was really good too. So like your quality of the matcha was also good, and that stuff's not cheap. So it was like, I wanted to ask you, why even mess with it?
I would say with what we're going for, like our mission is to cultivate community. So at least my thought is that you want the highest quality things to, for people to gather around. If you're just grabbing something through a drive-through window or something like that, your main goal is for it to be quick. And then kind of secondary to that, or, maybe a little bit secondary would be that you just want it to be pretty good. But I would say if you're coming all the way downtown and you're meeting somebody special, you really want your drink to be high quality, and that's just kind of my mentality in a lot of ways too.
Now,
is just do things.
Can you get overserved coffee? Will you cut somebody off, sir? You've got the jitters. You've been here. You've had four of these now. For your heart's sake, we need to stop you.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to cut
that,
you off.
That is enough caffeine, Dakota.
We haven't.
You
had
can
to
have
do that
try
yet.
A muffin, buddy. You don't have to.
You're not. You need some water. You gotta. Yeah. Tone it back. We haven't had any issues with that yet. Generally, people kind of understand where their limits are with coffee. You don't have the same effects that you might with certain other beverages where you need to get cut off.
But there's not been an ambulance trip just yet.
No, I've
wheel
got
somebody out. You overdo it tasting, sampling?
Early on, there was a couple times right before we opened where, some of our baristas were like, they could see me visibly shaking because I just had so much. I was just trying everything, really trying to make sure I understood the coffee, that we were doing the right things. And that turned into too much caffeine for sure. But there's a lot of times baristas, they don't, when they taste, they'll spit out. You have spit cups and things like that, just because you can get to that point of
sure.
too much.
So sure. Do you have a barista school where you teach them how to make hearts in the drinks?
We did at the start. We had we brought up a trainer from our roaster and had 4 days of barista training. So we learned all about espresso, and lattes and latte art and different things like that. We had a whole day just learning how to pour hearts and different things. So I mean,
so at this point, what shapes can you do?
I'm pretty much just to heart, and tulip is kind of the next level.
Can you
from
do
that.
A clover?
A clove? No, that'd be super awesome. But that's a couple levels above
St. Patrick's Day. We ran through that, but it's coming back again in like 11 months.
I know a macho with a clover on it.
Yeah, that would be really
just.
Cool. Yes. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That'd be pretty sweet.
We're sure. aspirational around here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Always pushing the boundaries.
Just for you guys, we'll have.
I mean, I'm a 4-H leader. That's, we're clover people.
There you go.
County fairs come up in July. We send them down to the press to get their clover coffee.
Yeah. So is my wife.
So she is. Yeah. Audrey is now a junior leader advisor with me.
So, what do you serve hot tea? What, mm-hmm. what tea do you have on the menu?
So we actually have a pretty good selection of tea. So we kind of have the regular tea that we call loose leaf. That's just because we brew it loose rather than in little bags. Mm. But we also have tea lattes. So chai tea latte, I would say that's the most popular tea by far. And, for some reason, yesterday was like a huge chai tea day. There's certain days where we just go through it.
That's a really good cold drink.
Yeah. So it's kind of right in that if it's not super cold or holiday time when it's cold, you end up a lot of hot chocolates and mochas and things like that. And I feel like once you get to New Year, people are a little bit wanting the teas, but chai tea, London Fog is also a kind of standard tea latte thing. That's a vanilla lavender, black tea latte.
So do you find some of these drinks are seasonal?
Yes.
You've passed through pumpkin spice season and now you're into iced coffee season.
Yeah. You have pumpkin spice in the fall, by far the most popular thing. And then the holiday times you have hot chocolates and mochas. So the, chocolate lattes. So those are the two big seasons. And those are also the busiest times of the year for us, I think. Well, that's, we're less than a year old. So I can't really say when the busiest time of the year is, but yeah, in the summer, it's definitely going to be iced drinks, iced lattes, iced Americanos, iced tea, different things like that. So
I'm not much of an iced drink guy. Mm-hmm. It'd be 90 degrees outside and I'm like, hot cortado.
Still. Yeah. There's a lot of people that it's just the hot drink all year, but
I'll drink the caffeine all day long, but after like lunch, I'm going to cold. Mm-hmm. It's a temperature change.
Yeah.
In the afternoon.
I think it's getting more and more people liking the ice drinks and, they tend to last longer too, where they don't, the hot drinks, you feel like you have to drink it while
you have a window.
Yep. Yeah, you kind of have that window. And
your mic is like being a nightmare on you. If you talk straight into it, it'll be good. But otherwise, it's wandering.
Okay.
There you go.
I tend to do that. I'll move my hands.
There you go.
I just did it again. But people tend to, with hot drinks, they tend to want it fast and they want the drinks hot. And lattes too, you can't steam the milk as hot as you can like boiling water. Because it'll taste off at a certain point. So you can only get those so hot, and people want to drink it while it's hot.
What's the boiling point of nut milk, like almond milk or
almond milk? I don't even know the soy boiling milk, point because we stay far enough away from it. Our latte is 145 to 155 degrees is like what we're aiming for with the milk.
There you go.
So it's well away from the boiling point. So
what kind of dairy-free alternatives do you have?
We have almond milk and oat milk, and I would say those are becoming the standard at coffee shops. Soy milk's kind of on its way out. There's some people that have asked for coconut milk in the last couple weeks, which I haven't ever tried in a latte, but I'm sure it would be good too. But I don't think it's just not a standard yet.
Interesting.
Cashew milk, I like.
Haven't had that either.
We're having a war against
it's
cows.
A better one.
I don't know.
See,
don't
there's it. A lot of things like milk alternatives and then even gluten-free and those kind of options that people expect at local coffee shops that is just not in my wheelhouse at all. So I've been having to learn a lot about that.
Cost prohibitive for you if not a lot of people are going to get cashew milk,
mm-hmm.
then why keep it in stock if it's you're going to be wasting the money on it?
Yeah, I mean, it's those things of like inventory costs and things like that, that we can't have things just sitting on the shelf and then going bad. And so, yeah, we in a lot of ways, we kind of got to limit things to what roll off the shelf and we can go through. So,
yeah. Makes sense. So if you were talking about, actually, I'm curious about this one. How, if I ordered a cortado with almond milk,
mm-hmm.
what part of that is going to actually be the almond milk? Because it's not going to foam.
It's just going to be 2 ounces or maybe 2.5 ounces of it is going to be that steamed almond milk. So it's not that much of it, but you know, if you're needing something dairy free, like you can't even have that 2 ounces. So, yeah. And then even steaming it, we actually have to steam more than that and heat it up just the way that our steam wands work. So it ends up using 4 or 6 ounces of the almond milk to make that cortado. So there's a little bit of waste in the cortado. But
so as you're designing this business,
mm-hmm.
how do you decide what days you're open and what hours you're open, right? I assume you've got multiple crowds that are coming in. You've got your downtown office worker crowd. You've got your people that are passing through on their way to work real fast. Maybe there's an evening crowd and then maybe the farmer's market and some weekend people. When do you decide a business like this, here's when we're going to be open. People think coffee in the morning, but what do you do to design when this place is going to operate?
We've taken the strategy, and I've personally been really passionate about having long hours of being open whenever people want to come in. And a lot of that's really hard to do with staffing, with my time. You know, I was putting about 110 hours a week in for the first 6 weeks, 2 months.
Just trying to figure it out.
Yeah, trying to figure it out. And
welcome to the small business owner's life.
Exactly. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, I could ask for empathy, but I signed up for it, you know, like, and also the long hours as a small business owner, you know, it's a lot easier, you know, you enjoy those hours a lot more. But as far as choosing when we're open, you know, you look at a lot of other downtown businesses and it's just really odd hours. And, you know, and those are just the constraints that they're dealing with as being small business owners. And
some of them, it's a second job, right?
Yeah.
There are some places that are,
I don't want to knock on them or anything like that or make anybody feel bad. But as consumers, there's a lot of people that are, you know, they get in their cars and like, hey, let's go find some place to get something to drink or a treat or go get dinner or something like that. Or even just go, hey, we're going for a shopping trip on a date night. And, you know, right now, if you're coming to downtown Newcastle, you're kind of like, oh, I got to look everything up on my phone, see if something's open. Oh, it's Thursday and only this place is open, but these other places are closed. And, you know, I think really for downtown Newcastle, we got to make it a destination where people can get in the car, start driving here and just trust that they're going to have a great time and they can find places that are open. So I think we're making a lot of progress with that, but it's a little bit of an uphill battle with that. And it's a lot of the small businesses have to make sacrifices with that and push that and trust that it's going to lead to more business and enough business to justify those hours.
So set the expectations for a customer. When should they be able to find the presses open?
Right now we're open 7 to 7 weekdays and 9 to 4 on Saturday. So the only days Sunday. I think a lot of people would like a Sunday afternoon drink or something like that. But as far as we just don't have the bandwidth to be able to do Sundays right now. And also it's just personally my Sabbath and everything like that. So right now we're closed on Sundays. If we hear a lot of people want to be open and people want to come in and I can justify staffing that, then maybe Sundays would be in the future.
I mean, 7 to 7 is a pretty solid day, five days a week plus Saturdays.
Yeah. Really, the first couple hours and the last couple hours are pretty slow. right now. So that's, you know, we're having to find ways to fill those times and have specials and different things like that. And, you know, we want to have a lot of event nights where, you know, we're talking about a coffee 101 class. So if anybody's interested in a coffee 101 class, we're going to be having May 1st and May 5th. We're going to be having our first classes on those nights. So, you know, we just, I think as a business, we got to find ways to have an offering that customers want to come during those times. But, you know, right now people will have to make that special trip. I think in the first couple hours, you'd think it'd be the busiest time of the day for coffee shops.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't have a drive through and it's, and sometimes it's on, not on the way to come up to downtown Newcastle. So
there have been, I start work at 7:00. So there's been times where I've like, I know you guys open early and I've been in the truck on the way somewhere and I'm like, I would love to stop and get a coffee. And it's just a constraint of driving a large bucket truck where it's like, I've thought about like,
I can just street park that on 14th Street.
Like, I can probably just park it along the road. Or then I've thought like, I could park it in the library and just walk, hike down. And it's like, how much effort am I willing to go? But yeah, I've thought about that, appreciated that you guys are open as long as what you are.
But, is the customer base, some of it, the people that live downtown in these apartments that are downtown or the office workers, or is it,
there's some of that.
Find it people just driving in?
Yeah, there's, I mean, it's a mix of everything really. And I think that's what it takes is, you know, just enough of everybody, wherever they're at, coming in and being customers. But I would say that, you know, it's different for different parts of the day. You know, the kind of the mid-boarding time is a lot more business people where they've gotten in, they've gotten ready for something, and they're like, hey, let's go out and have a meeting. And, you know, instead of just coming over to the office and sitting in front of desk, let's meet and have a couple of mid-morning coffees.
That's when Aaron Dickin comes out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's on his way to work probably during that time. Sorry, Aaron. Sorry if you're...
Oh, man.
So you were talking about the future. What's the future look like for you guys?
So, I mean, the future's just continually, like, settling in and driving. You know, I would say our customer base and, you know, getting established. I guess that's kind of the right way to put it. Because, you know, for a lot of businesses, you know, you rely on your regular customers. So, you know, we want to provide an experience where people get value out of being regular customers. You know, because, you know, I don't want to ask people to sacrifice, you know, to feel like they're sacrificing. I want them to feel like they're getting something out of coming in, you know, multiple times a week or however, you know, whatever it looks like for individual people. So, you know, I think we got to find ways to create that value, to have quality, but be quick enough. Cause you know, there's times where if we have the way that we make our drinks, you know, you could come in and wait 20 minutes for a drink. And for some people, like they can't do that, you know,
right,
or they're on their way. They got to be somewhere and they can't risk being late. So they can't come in and get something. So, you know, we got to continue to work on being quick and being able to get things, out where if somebody's coming in, we have online ordering too. So that's one thing that we want to drive and to help with some of that. But you know, I would say also seasonal drinks and continually to make it, you know, a destination and a treat.
So how do they order online? Huh? Thepress.com?
The presscoffee.co is our website. And I know our online ordering is, a top link on there. So
they can order. Can they order and say, "Hey, I want coffee at 9:00, and it'll be ready at 9:00, or something like that"? Or they just jump in and say, "Hey, grab this." And
yeah, so they can set a time for it, but they can also, you know, bring it up and just order now. And then I have it set right now where it's like 10 to 20 minutes as a standard, but it just makes it where you can, you know, click order and then start driving this way, and it'll be ready for you when you get
there. Yeah, spectacular. There's the ticket for you, Dakota. Yeah,
that's exactly what I was just thinking.
Just order it that way, and you're good to go.
Yeah, that could be dangerous.
Well, you but sell like clubs to too, right? You have a little prepaid card where the people can hook themselves up.
Yeah, we have a membership program, and essentially it's buying a gift card for a certain amount. We have different levels for it, but you immediately get whatever amount the membership is on a gift card, and you get pretty good perks on top of it. So our publisher, our highest one, has, I would say, pretty good perks with percents off and different things like that.
When you buy your 5,000th cup of coffee, he'll put a clover in it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Four leaf clover.
Yes. If anybody gets their 5,000th cup of coffee, I for sure will put a clover.
Aaron will be there in a month.
I know.
be there in no time. All right. Well, we probably should start wrapping things up here a little bit, talking about final thoughts, things that are going on. I know that Zach is over there efforting wildly because apparently we've solved some of the issues on the live stream, but not all of them because, you know, this is a work of love.
According to Danny Morrill, we haven't fixed much, but I'm getting differing reports from differing people as to what it sounds like. So if you're catching this on the Facebook feed, feel free to message Boss Hog page or message my Facebook page and let me know what exactly you're hearing, because getting some choppiness. I'm also getting being told that it's not as choppy, but there's an echo, and so I'm not sure what we'll have to keep. We're efforting.
We remind everybody we're a podcast first, and most of the time, the Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, wherever podcasts are sold, sounds pretty good. So if you don't love the live stream, you can first of all we'll refund your money. For the free show. But second of all, check the podcast out. All right. What do you got planned, Zach? Anything fun coming up?
No.
You got your mini marathon up.
Mini marathon. I did my last long run this morning because I guess I'm a glutton for punishment. Although impressively, I got, man, and some people are going to like, oh, there's something wrong with you. But I got like 12.7 miles into a run day before I had to stop for traffic, which is both awful and awesome because I was cursing at having to stop because I went to the...
You almost did the entire thing.
Almost the entire run. I was...
You have the license plate number of the car they made you stop?
It was four of them. I was stopped at what I jokingly call one of the happiest intersections in Indiana, Jack's Donuts and Pizza King. I was right there and the Dairy Queen, but the ice cream shop whenever it reopens, and there was just a line of cars at a stop sign. I was like, son of a, and I was cussing. I just turned around and just walked the other way and just like, I'll turn around when they're done. And the last one was a diesel. I knew it was. So I just turned around and I heard them go by. I was like, okay, I'm going to try and get my legs to work again because they've been going for like 2 hours. But no, so I'm like a run and a half away from what I call Taper Town, which is the taper down to the actual race. So I'm done with long runs for at least 2 weeks. So other than that, this weather is insane. It's bipolar. It's all over the place.
It's May today. It'll be March tomorrow.
There were snow flurries 48 hours ago. And then
today was 80.
It was 60 degrees this morning and pretty humid. And then I was looking at weather for the weekend, laying out running clothes. And I was laying out gloves and long sleeves again. Like I cannot just take, I can put away my cold gear, my cold running stuff, like my thermals and stuff, but I cannot just put away the long sleeves and the gloves.
One thing I've discovered since starting to run outside is that after winter, all of a sudden, like 55 degrees and humid is like really hot.
Yeah. Humidity.
Your body's so used to that cold. And then all of a sudden that little bit of warm.
And we haven't really hit the humidity hard, although over the weekend, last weekend, it was horrible. And Jeremiah saw me at the end of, I stopped twice during that run to wring out my shirt, and I rang out probably like between the two stops, like 12 to 18 ounces of sweat out of the shirt.
About 9:30 on Saturday morning, I opened my garage door, and there goes Zach shuffling by.
Oh, I was about to die.
I just step out of the driveway and yell, "You're doing great!" And then I pulled my phone out as quick as I could, and I caught him just getting ready to turn back onto Main Street.
Yeah, it was awful. there's a trade-off, especially when we really hit summer, when the humidity really hits, is that as bad as you think the humidity is during the day, in the morning, the actual relative humidity is much higher because it's cooler. And so it's instead of, it's not like it doesn't like take your breath away like during the day when it's hot, but it's like the air you can wear, like the sweat, whatever sweat comes off of you is still on you for however long it takes to get done because it's not going anywhere. There's nowhere for it to go. So other than that, it was very dark this morning and I've got some more traffic lights or street lamps to report out. Jeremiah's neighborhood is not in the city and it's very dark and just about,
I run on the county roads in the morning and it's dark in some places.
Yeah. Yeah. I would do better with dark without the trees and all the other stuff. And then there's So I'm glad it's over. And the weather for the most part is nice. So I'm not going to complain too much, but
you're just a few weeks away from moving to Speedway, Indiana for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I didn't get to see any. I did not watch. I had it on, but no sound. I did not watch any of the open test today.
No incidents. It was nice and clean.
Yeah.
I was going to check on your thoughts on the Kroger because apparently they failed their reinspection today. The Speedway Kroger is in trouble.
I'll still go there. Because it's I like it better than ours.
The Marion County Health Department has shut down the Kroger Deli.
Oh, that's a
and bakery,
and that is a. We don't normally get the, like we have a very nice Kroger. I like the people that work at our Kroger, but when you go to any Indianapolis Kroger, and it's a whole different experience. They have like the wine section in this Kroger is like as big as our like bread and deli section. It's enormous. And they also haven't been, I'm very thankful for Boar's Head in this town, but Boar's Head is like taken over how our deli operates. And the Kroger and Speedway operates like our deli used to operate, where you can like see what you're buying before you buy it. Cause they've got the deli meat. Apparently it's out there for the mice, but they're shredding. Apparently, you know, you can just see like they've pre-cut turkey. You can look at the turkey and be like, oh, I like the way that looks. Cause I can visually check turkey. I don't like turkey that's like slimy looking or anything. And I'm like, oh, this is the way it used to be when you just ask them and they just grabbed a handful of it, threw it in a bag and gave it to you. You didn't have to like pull a number and have them get the thing out and go to the slicer. So hopefully they get straightened out in the next couple of weeks.
It's a fresh slice, Zach.
We go to there. I don't care.
Zach was not brought premium.
No.
He wants the
pre-portion. I'm hoping the weather.
I don't think I've ever bought meat from the deli counter.
Oh,
all
Kroger?
Pre-packaged.
I always.
Boar's Head is far too rich for my blood.
I never get Boar's Head.
It's all great value and Aldi brand.
That's what I thought until I had it for the first time.
It's good.
And then you're like, oh, this is
if it's
another
on sale
level.
And it's like the, it's like within a reasonable, but like I'm a real big Kroger Private Selection Wildflower Honey Turkey fan. Like that's that and some good whole wheat bread or whatever. But yeah,
I'm pretty basic in a lot of ways, like fine, whatever, I'll eat whatever, but don't give me the prepackaged like turkey that has come from a factory already in the sealed container. Like that is,
yeah, some of that stuff's really gross.
That's a big no for me.
And it's
that's
the same.
All I eat, bud.
Nope. Can't do it. Yeah. Can't do it.
Is that even,
like I've graduated from that.
Yeah.
Is that even like meat? I mean, that's like calling, like, that's like saying, well, I only like the finest cuts of Oscar Mayer bologna. Like, is that even,
I love bologna too. I love Spam.
Look at the ingredients list and it's more than just turkey.
It's not good for you.
Turkey's even, tastes good. Turkey's probably even in air quotes. I mean, like,
Turkish.
Canned chicken is a staple for me. I eat it probably like every.
You genuinely eat like my 95-year-old grandfather used to do. Except he also ate like cow's heart and stuff, but his plates. Tell me if you do this too, Dakota. His plates were the foam. Back in the day when you used to get hamburger from the meat counter, it would be on like a styrofoam tray and it would be like shrink wrapped onto that. And then he would reuse those
I'm
trays.
I'm pretty sure that's how plates. Harvest Market still operates.
Yeah,
I haven't been there in 20 years, but I'm pretty sure that's the way they were.
I don't go in there very often.
Food and stuff.
Yeah, that's what you use for plates, was leftover deli meat or like meat counter stuff. But.
This time next year, Ben's going to come up with this idea of having signature sandwiches too, and life's going to get very complicated.
You've got some. Who do you work with for some of your baked goods? I'll ask that real quick.
Baked goods are locally made baked goods we get from Caitlin Walden. Walden Acres is her company name, but yeah, her stuff is awesome. It flies off the shelf.
There's like a lavender oatmeal.
Oh yeah, the lavender oatmeal cookies. Yeah,
I hear good things about that.
Yeah, and then orange cranberry. Yeah, there's a date bar that's by far my favorite. It's awesome. It's great.
Other than that, I've not got that much going on.
That sounded like a lot.
I'm surviving.
Yeah, this is like 30 minutes of final.
Yeah.
Thoughts.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Other than that, I'm pretty boring. Yeah. Ben, what have you learned?
Hey, I've learned a whole lot here today. So,
you know. That's awesome. You got to plug yourself. Come on. Go down, see Ben. 14th and what? What's the cross street?
Oh, what are the cross streets? Race is one of them.
You're at 14th and Race, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, right in the Crook. That's a really cool building, by the way. That's like, it was cool as the Courier Times, but people know it's kind of L-shaped. So it's got its own kind of little courtyard patio area that when you see it used for a coffee shop, you're like, that is perfect. Like, mm-hmm. That's a perfect use of the space. People probably weren't hanging out outside the Courier Times office, but they would hang out outside a coffee shop. And so I've been by there and seen like kids outside playing and people just chilling outside.
Probably there's water features out there.
It's a cool.
Yeah,
space.
We have water features. We're going to have to see about that because we put the water features right underneath a huge tree. So, you know, the leaf cleanup, at least in the fall.
A lot of maintenance to go with that.
Yeah.
Just give a kid a free chocolate milk to pull him out of there and he'll do it probably.
Hey, there you go. Yeah.
Going to start having people just wait till after the Moreland Fair. Have you been through a Moreland Fair cycle yet where all the kids win goldfish and then they'll just start coming downtown and dropping their goldfish?
I hadn't thought of that, but now everyone else is. All the parents are going to start telling their kids, like, hey, you know what would be really funny?
Give Ben a free fish. He'll give you 5% off a cup of coffee. I hear they clean up
leaves
that drop in.
We'll have people fishing out there now.
There you go.
Fishing pools. Yeah.
Catch a carp.
Yeah.
Save 5%. There you go.
Exactly. It's a new special.
And then you can go very, very crunchy granola and let people, they can butcher it right on the site and have smoked fish.
Yeah.
And smoked fish with a chai latte.
We'll have to see what the health department has to say about that, but
I bet they're easier to work with than the Marion County folks are.
I would say so. I've had very good interactions with our local health department.
He's told he's very happy by the corporate overlords or the government overlords. Ben, it's been a pleasure to have you here, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yep,
it's been great.
Absolutely. And I enjoyed, I think I ordered a sugar-free vanilla latte.
Iced latte.
And I have no self-control. So by the time we were done with Patreon, I was down to my last swallow or two. I was through it immediately. Ben, the pro over there, is half
sip on things. Yeah,
yeah, he's halfway through his cold brew.
Is that decaf or regular?
This is regular, so that's another reason why.
Oh boy,
cold brew. It can sneak up on you.
I get to edit tonight, so I'll be up for a little while still. So, all right, Dakota, what do we know? What do we forget? What do we need to know?
I don't really have anything. I appreciate you coming on. I've been a fan of the press. Don't know much about coffee, but I know like good coffee because I drank a lot of it. So, yeah, everything I've had from you guys has been spectacular, very, very delicious. Appreciate you coming on. We have a bunch of good shows coming up here in the next few weeks, so including episode number 300,
which Dakota is still planning.
Which I didn't get to be a part of the discussion last week, is what it is.
We'll see. We'll see how it shakes out. You kept the power on for a number of citizens.
My back still hurts.
you were up late. You put in the 14-hour day that day.
15.
Was it 15?
It was a 15 day.
Have you received that paycheck yet?
When did your contractor get to go back to Idaho?
He was already back.
He was already back. So you just stepped down to work without him. How many pages did you go through of instructions? Is that what you're measuring it in?
Started that way.
At one point you said you reverted back to 60.
Yeah, it wasn't. I'm telling you, it was not a good day.
Sounds a lot like working at NASA. Jim level up there trying to land back on Earth.
Did you guys see the shuttle? Or not shuttle,
I heard about it. So there was a SpaceX incident.
Yeah, it was what did they call it? A rapid unplanned
disassembly.
Yeah.
That's some great.
It broke.
It blowed up. Yeah. Yeah.
In racing, I think we had that done tore it up. It's that's a part of space travel, you know? Mm-hmm. That's
just, better to do it now than when there's people on board.
Nobody was on board, so we're still sciencing it out, so to speak.
But that's just part of it.
Dakota's been full nerdy on the front end of the show and on Patreon. I want to give a plug for a series that Sarah and I have been watching on the YouTube by Wendover Productions. The show called Jet Lag. Are you familiar with this?
Mm-mm, never heard of it.
Sam from Wendover and a couple of his producers have the show where they go around the world now, and they play essentially games where they the recent one just watched the last episode of the season last night, and they were in New Zealand. And they basically had broken into two different teams, and they had to do these challenges and turn the entire country into a board game map. And it was like a 5-day road trip, having to basically sightseeing New Zealand, but having to do different things to achieve. But they've circled the world a couple of times on planes, played Connect Four with the United States. So really, really neat YouTube series. So if you're looking for something to do, you're about ready to finish Ted Lasso, and you're like, I'm done. I've run out of things to do. Really smart, nerdy stuff that I think Dakota would like. It's my recommendation for him. And if Ben's spending 110 hours in the press and wants something to watch, it's worth your time as well. So, with that, we'll leave it there. Next week, we are on to a Tuesday night show because our friends over at the Blue River Tap House have had their grand opening. And I believe they are open Wednesdays through Sundays. So we shifted our day of the week to accommodate them so they could actually be a part of the show. So we will be a Tuesday show next week. So adjust your calendars, your schedules, and man, we get a long weekend. You get to do what you want to do on Thursday.
Ben left the press early for us.
That's spectacular. Mm-hmm. And now he gets to go on down there and make sure he got locked up correctly.
Yeah, I got to miss a couple missed calls from our lead barista who's over there. So we'll see what the fire is.
see what's left of the coffee shop. If it's still standing, go see him tomorrow. With that, we will catch you guys next week.